Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to the Dudes and Beer podcast, officially brought to you by PodcastCadet.com. If you were like me and you just love podcasting, or you want to start a podcast for your business, school, church, whatever, even just for the halibut, if you're a fisherman, PodcastCadet.com can help you out. They have an entire staff of professionals, from engineers like myself, people who have experience hosting, building websites, putting out digital distribution, marketing, what have you. They have the professional to help you. Great rates, one-on-one private consultation over the phone or via Skype to help you out with your technical or personal or design issues. Once again, that is podcastcadet.com. Use the code DUDES20 to save 20% off of your purchase at checkout. Tonight, I am so excited to have my very good friend, Billy Joe Kane from the Radical Empathy Education Foundation, hashtag Reef Cares, everybody, on the show to talk about the terror of our country that is human trafficking. Reef is one of the only companies out there, one of the only 501c3s that is actively trying to help stop human trafficking, not just by setting up means with police and everything, but by educating people, children, schools, hotels, about what human trafficking is, about what the signs of human trafficking are. Just to bring it home, folks, right here in Texas, we are, if I'm not mistaken, the second in the nation for human trafficking as far as numbers go. So we'll be getting into some of that, some of what you can do in your local area to help out. Speaking of local areas, welcome to all of our listeners on WMLD, the voice of the Hudson Valley, here during your drive time. Thank you so much for tuning in. Keep tuning in. All the great shows, including Dudes and Beer, right here. Before we bring Billy onto the show, we're going to take a quick pause and listen to a great report about some of the recent things with Facebook that have come about. As we lead into election season, we know that there was the big Cambridge Analytica breach that happened during the last election cycle that has led to everything that we're going through politically right now. And what's hilarious is none of that's been brought up during all of this. I can't wait to see, and I'm not going to get political tonight, folks, but I can't wait to see what happens when it all pans out if we actively bring up the fact that, yeah, the Democrats did rig their last primary, like proven in a court of law. We going to bring that one back up? Because I kind of think that that's the long play game here, is to bring that back up. So we'll see where that comes to shake out. We'll be getting into some Jeffrey Epstein stuff this evening with our guest, Billy Joe Kane from the Radical Empathy Education Foundation, hashtag Reef Cares, right after this report from our in-house reporter, John Baum from Daily News Collective.
Facebook, that friendly social media app that was supposed to bring us all closer together, but unfortunately only made us feel more isolated. As the American Journal of Preventive Medicine discovered, people who spend more than 2 hours a day on social media reported twice the amount of social isolation than those who spent a half hour per day or less on social media. Facebook, the same app that tracks us relentlessly, watching everything we do online, sells our personal information, our private messages. Essentially, they sell everything we are. In fact, Facebook wants to control the very currency that you are worth. And Facebook's creator sits on a mountain of gold, closing in on a net worth of $100 billion, defending his pile of trinkets from the socialist democratic horde that he unwittingly supported. And now, after all of the censorship of freedom-loving Americans from Zuckerberg's Silicon Valley ivory tower, he has the gall to lecture us about free expression, hoping that he can turn the tide on the growing call to break up his company. But those of us that have always stood with freedom can only laugh at Zuckerberg's shallow pleas.
And I understand the concerns that people have about how tech platforms have centralized power. But I actually believe that the much bigger story is how much these platforms have decentralized power by putting it directly into people's hands. It's part of this amazing expansion of voice that we've experienced through law and culture and now technology as well. We're at another crossroads. We can either continue to stand for free expression, understanding its messiness, but believing that the long journey towards greater progress requires confronting ideas that challenge us. Or we can decide that the cost is simply too great. And I'm here today because I believe that we must continue to stand for free expression.
Hubris aside, Facebook is so flawed that it has racked up a growing kill count attributed to the activity of its users. Just yesterday in Bangladesh, as the Washington Times reported, at least 4 people were killed and dozens injured after security officials in southern Bangladesh opened fire to disperse hundreds of Muslims during a protest over an alleged social media post undermining Islam's Prophet Muhammad, police said. When angry protesters demanded the punishment of a Hindu man for the alleged Facebook comment, the man denied making the comment, saying his Facebook account had been hacked.
You are CEO and chairman of Facebook. That's an extraordinary amount of power, given that you rule a kingdom of 2 billion people digitally, essentially. Shouldn't your power be checked?
You know, I always talk about how we need to partner with governments around the world and other companies and nonprofits and other sectors. So, yes, I don't think fundamentally that we're going to be able to address all of these issues by ourselves.
So you are not stepping down as chairman?
That's not the plan.
Anyone who really takes the time to sit back and take in the threat that Facebook poses to our republic would immediately delete their Facebook account. But even Facebook makes that incredibly difficult to do. John Bound reporting.
John Bound laying it down, bringing you the facts. Keep your eyes out on Facebook, folks. As we were going on with that clip there, our guest Billy Joe Kane and I were just talking about the fact, like we just covered 2 weeks ago with our good guest and write-in presidential candidate, Mr. Barron, Daniel Barron. We, you know, I say get rid of all political ads. The reason I'm saying this is because, of course, Twitter just recently announced that they are banning political ads this go around, that there will be no, like, you can't pay for an ad on Twitter if it's a political ad. Like, you can make a political post, you can say this is what we're doing, but you can't boost that post with money, and you can't specifically put an ad on there that is politically based. Now, with that being said, I say ban all political ads, period, under the rules of domestic terrorism and just the sheer definition of terrorism, which is using politics to exact, or using fear to exact your political ends. So whenever you're saying, like, John James over there is going to take your guns, you're making a bunch of people afraid, and that's why they're voting for the guy running against John James. So you do that, you level the political playing field. Now suddenly people taking in millions of dollars for ad campaigns now have to go back to grassroots, banging on doors, knocking on doors, doing it grassroots style, the way that good people like Mr. Barron are doing it. And like I said on the show, I don't care who you are. If you're running for president, come on to my show. That's what we're about. We're about giving a voice to other people. We're about giving a voice to people that don't often get to speak, which is why I would love having Billy Joe Kane on the show. Welcome as always, Billy Joe. How are you doing?
I am doing great, and I'm doing even greater being here.
Oh man. I just got to say, watching you on social media lately, for those of you that don't follow the show, for all of our new audience up there in the Hudson Valley on WMLD, Billy Joe Kane, the Radical Imp, the Education Foundation, I ran into them at a classic game fest here in Austin that I was running AV for. He had a booth. He was doing some VR stuff, teaching people. about human trafficking and the horrors of human trafficking with VR. And I was like, wow, that's just cool. That's cutting edge. And I think you really, really have something here. And to see where you've come from and those, it's been right at 2 years. It's wild that it's been that long, Billy. But tell our audience, familiarize them a little bit with Reef Cares, what it is that the Radical Empathy Education Foundation does, and what Trapped, a VR detective story, and your software is all about.
Wow. So thank you so much. I always enjoy being here. So Radical Empathy Education Foundation was started to reduce the supply of victims into this horrendous situation around the world. I highly recommend, if you don't know much about human trafficking, go ahead and Google it. Try to get some information. If you would like to get, if you'd like to go really, really deep, go to reefcares.org and you can find a trafficking resources document that you can download that has links to everything you could ever possibly want to know. The more that I've been learning about trafficking, the worse it is, the worse that it is, the you know, it just goes, it's so deep. But we are focusing on trying to educate people on the thing that's really difficult to understand, which is that children are not trading sex for money. Children are being manipulated, tricked, extorted, coerced, anything that you can possibly imagine to get them to do something that is against their nature. And we're currently living in a world where technology has advanced to the point where you have predators in your pocket. If you have given your child a smartphone, these predators can find your kids in any way you can possibly imagine. If they post on Instagram where they are, where they're going to be, if they're on social media with people that aren't their friends or don't know people, if they engage with others that are out there, these things are dangerous. So our software that we created, VR Trapped, a VR detective story, is a way to connect parent or connect the dots, I think you'd probably say, between risky behaviors that you might not think too much about it, and it connects you with how you can avoid those kind of things. So when somebody goes through our experience, they experience a Romeo pimp scenario where someone meets someone. In our case, it's online, which is very, very common. And that person convinces the young girl in our experience that he is in love with her. And this is kind of the way they get their hooks in. The girl's having tough, the family's having a tough time. The family's divorced. She's not getting enough attention. This boy gives her that attention and basically starts manipulating her. And when you look at the standard anti-trafficking or trafficking prevention education, and there's so many people that are doing wonderful work out there, what the tools they have are PowerPoint, video, somebody in person, et cetera. Whereas, and then what you'll see is they'll say, oh, there's psychological manipulation, there's coercion. But until you've lived it, until you've experienced it yourself and had a role-playing experience or you've actually had it happen, you don't get it. And our VR experience puts you in the shoes. She explains how it happened. And when you take that headset off, you understand this could happen to anyone.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not going to make you rehash the whole story, but that's what I find so beautiful is the fact that, like you said, and the term Romeo pimp was used, folks. And to describe that is basically like what you were saying, where it's the classic story of somebody, be they early adolescent, slightly earlier, having rough times at home. Somebody comes in and provides, be it that big brother aspect, that fatherly aspect, even a motherly aspect, folks. This isn't just men that are guilty of trafficking children. It's women, it's men, it's people of all ilks of society, all walks of society.
It's people in your family, it's other children at schools. It's unimaginable how this is happening, and it happens because there's so much money in it. And if you think about, you know, how much money you make in drugs, well, drugs have a problem where you have to grow the drugs, you have to process the drugs, you have to transport the drugs, et cetera, et cetera. There's always a physical thing that a policeman or a cameraman can take a picture of and say, look at how much, you know, how much drugs or how many drugs we've taken off the streets. But with a person that's being trafficked, you're just going to keep using them over and over and over again, and you're going to make money off of every time that they that you victimize them. And given that that's the case, you're never out of product. Your product just keeps being renewed.
Yeah, and every time that you victimize them, it normalizes the situation to them even more.
And not just them, but to everybody
to
else.
To everybody and, else and involved in the situation.
Including our culture.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's no surprise to hear somebody saying, you know, pimp and hoe and, you know, thug life and things like that. You're like going, okay, well, now you hear it all the time. You know, it's okay. And
yeah.
It's just not.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm no prude. But when I see these patterns happening over and over again, and I watch our culture glorifying this type of behavior, it's not right.
Well, and you know, that's it's interesting that you say that, because one of the people I've been trying to get Rick Allen Ross on, who actually you should try to connect with him on LinkedIn. He's actually the gentleman who started the Cult Education Foundation.
Oh my gosh, one of my friends who's in the anti-trafficking field. She was raised in a cult.
Yeah.
So she's got and, this, she's like, I want justice.
Yeah. And that's just it. It's very much a manipulation of mind. It's a manipulation of behavior. It's a manipulation of everything psychologically from the ground up.
Yeah. And it's taking, so trafficking and victimizing and this whole normalization culture, human beings need attention. They want attention. They need love, and they want love. And if they're not getting it, and someone comes along and they offer it to them, you know, look, it's our natural inclination. I mean, basically what's happening is these people are hacking, you know, millions of years or however many thousands of years that we've evolved in this way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the same way that we talk all the time, folks, about how the media hijacks our psyche, about how they hijack the negative reinforcement that our brain literally uses as a survival mechanism.
That's right.
And these people do the exact same thing. The exact same thing. They use the negativity of that literally negative inner voice against you. And it's wild. The way it goes on here recently, I've actually been watching the R. Kelly expose done.
How can it be that that was so public?
That was straight up in your face.
I know. And
I remember
one seemed to want to or care to or have the ability to do something about
it. Well, and it's interesting, though, because like you brought up, it's that normalization and that normalization of society, you know, good Lord, how often do you hear the term, you know, in like Flynn? You know what that turn of phrase means, folks? In like Flynn?
I've heard a couple of recent ones that I've never used before or never heard before, and I'm like, that changed my mind. Heard in like Flynn.
In like Flynn, yeah.
Right?
You know, you know, you're in like Flynn. Don't worry about it. That's literally a turn of phrase that comes from Errol Flynn. The rapier-wielding, swashbuckling actor from the 1930s, 40s, early ages of film and cinema.
I'm like, this is innocuous. All good,
was,
in like Flynn.
He was known for his young dalliances.
Oh, man.
With the young stars of screen, 15, 16 years old. How many songs? You know, Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon. You know, Little 15. Mm-hmm. It's something that is driven into our heads, and it's kind of like the concept of toxic masculinity in culture. You want to know where it comes from. Men are taught not to feel.
Yeah, we're islands.
We're taught not to cry. Mm-hmm. We're taught that that's weak. Don't do it. If you do feel and make your feelings known, we'll gladly make fun of you in public for it. All of us, every one of us as men, will collectively do it. And you wonder where this attitude comes from. It's something that is normalized within us, just like this action and activity, once taken on from a young enough age, becomes normalized to these poor children, to these victims.
The more
of trafficking,
the more children that I speak to that have gone through our experience.
Oh, wow.
So what I would say is that when someone goes through our experience, their emotional barriers kind of get dropped while they're in the VR experience. And then they absorb it. But when they're finished and they take the headset off, they're really willing and able to say things that have been inside their mind, and they're fine with talking about it. So we've had rooms full of kids that'll finish an experience, and then they want to sit and talk about what it feels like to be a young woman who's going through, you know, adolescence and, you know, puberty, and how her body is changing, and how the male society has been programmed to call you, you know, you're either too provocative or not provocative enough. And these young women will tell us how incredibly difficult it is to be a 12-year-old, you know, in this society and the patriarchal, you know, male-oriented, sexually supercharged hypersexuality culture that we live in.
Yeah,
and our pop culture is the same way. I mean, just drive down the road and try to see, you know, just look at all the ads that are out there.
Yeah,
see if you can drive 5 miles. No, just go to the supermarket. It's been hypersexualized.
Go to the supermarket. Go to the supermarket. Look at the aisle. Look at the magazine aisle. Check it out.
That is just doing nothing except making us feel bad about ourselves.
Well, and that's just it. When you're using the negative aspect to positively reinforce something, that's where it starts. You know, and
back to the politics and political ads.
Well, and it's right back to the way we've been brought up. Like, don't get me wrong, just got Disney Plus. Way worth the money. I've got a 2.5-year-old. Yeah, he's going to watch Disney films. Not only that, I get to sit there and watch all my Disney stuff, too. And all my X-Men cartoons and Darkwing Duck and the like. Yeah, I'm 44. Shut up. look at me like that, Billy Kane. But
no, it's because you're going to find out that I had to sell all my comics to make room around my house.
To be able to get Disney Plus.
Because my kids read through them all. All that masculinity or whatever the heck you want to call it. But I think the comics that I wound up buying had some pretty adult relationships in them. So it wasn't just...
comics in and of themselves, that whole art genre carries some of the deepest tropes of mankind, society. There isn't a superhero out there that doesn't struggle with the power that they wield, that doesn't have an alcohol problem, that doesn't have a pending drug issue, that hadn't had crazy trauma in their life that they have had to overcome.
Yeah, that stuff is woven into there. So at least for boys like myself and my son and other people or other kids of that age, they see that people can have problems, you know, and it's like it's almost... Yeah. It's not normalized. It's just set out so it's something you can actually examine. So it's not a perfect person or a perfect, you know, superhero. It's like, no, these are human beings.
Well, sure.
And or maybe aliens that still have, you know, foibles and, you know, personal issues that they have to work through.
Well, and, you know, specifically with Disney movies, fairy tales, things like that, you know, the one thing that we're always taught is that fairy tale ending, you know, you're looking for Prince Charming, ladies. That's what every little girl is told, is to look for Prince Charming. Let's take a quick look at Prince Charming, everybody.
Well, we're
just,
all set up.
Just with, real quick.
Lay it on me.
Prince Charming. Normally just some loner dude. Typically, you know, pardon the term, but a little... I'm not going to use the term because we have a radio audience now, but he's kind of a jerk most of the time to other people.
They don't have a personality necessarily.
They don't have a personality.
They just kind of ride in.
Yeah.
And you're like,
they're like a prince.
It's this idea
whatever.
That they're going to be saved.
They're going to run it. Well, the thing is, like, she's asleep. He walks in and just steals a kiss. I'll just kiss her. What? This is the dude you're supposed to be looking for. This is the guy that's supposed to complete you in your emotional journey into womanhood. Is the guy that's going to come kiss you in your sleep.
To give you the attention.
When he doesn't know you.
Yeah, but you get that attention.
And you're supposed
to
be cool
with
that. You know, like imagine, like I've said for years with my wife, I'd love to just like rewrite movies and reshoot them, but stop it at the point where the decision is made. You know, like imagine Taken.
Okay.
You got 20 minutes of a movie. It's developing. There's all this angst between mother, father, daughter, all that. She goes to Europe. You know, hello, yes, the cabs are very expensive. Would you like to share a cab? No, I'm sorry, I don't get in the car with strangers. My dad told me never to. Credits roll.
Exactly.
Like, movie would be gone. It'd be gone,
by the way.
Because the person made the right decision.
And when I watch a horror movie, I'm screaming, don't go into the woodshed. And if they didn't, roll credits.
When you hear the creepy music, don't turn the doorknob.
Don't split up. And if they don't, roll credits.
Yeah, you know. But we're joking here, people, but it's because to do anything else is literally to cry. The situations that are going on around our country regularly, if you follow the Dudes and Beer group on Facebook, if you don't, you need to. Plenty of news stories there. A lot of the stuff that we talk about.
And breakthrough, and there's part of the community or being part of the community. It's okay to be wrong.
Yeah.
And it's okay to discuss things. It's I'm really proud to be part of it, actually.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's a great place.
I love the fact that the group has started self-regulating itself in a lot of ways.
That's massive.
People have open-ended conversations. It starts conversations. That's what it's there for. That's what this show is here for, is to have these hard conversations, to see these hard truths. And as we near into the Super Bowl season, that's when this stuff really swings into high gear, folks, is even living here in Austin with all the festivals that we have. We're an epicenter. The reason why Texas has the second largest statistic for number of human trafficked children in the country is because of its centralized location. Its ability to be able to distribute all over the nation, north, central, east, west, doesn't matter.
We have a big border. We've got harbors. We have just the borders around Texas are particularly big. If you have rivers, and we have a giant highway that just runs east and west, right in the middle, I-10. It even goes near the border. And we were speaking a little while ago about, you could be in any city, and it's like if you have these identifying characteristics of a port or this or that, that makes it a bigger chance. But really the biggest characteristic is, do you have people there?
Yeah.
If you have people, there's always a certain percentage that they are the demand, and the supply will rise to meet the demand.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's really horrifying and scary. Some of the things, whenever you've come over, just hanging out, things like that, some of the conversations that we've had, the things, the eye-opening experiences you've had talking to survivors, talking to these investigators around the country, it's so beautiful to see that the eyes are being opened, that the veil is being peeled back on this horrible travesty to humanity, because it's something like most people think of human trafficking as human smuggling, folks. It's not. It's not people in the back of 18-wheelers being brought across to work in a factory.
Right.
That's not human trafficking.
You hear that a lot with, people are talking about the border and this is what's happening. It's like, look, as you're saying, human smuggling is travel or taking a body to somewhere else. And if they want it, it's smuggling. If they don't want it, it's kidnapping.
Yeah.
And then, but once they get to their location, yes, they could be being trafficked. Absolutely. But taking them over the border is not trafficking, it's smuggling. And there's a reason that these distinctions exist, because you want to have different, different solutions for it, or different, I always call it justice. I mean, there's different types of ways you can deal with this. So it's like there are legal definitions and reasons for these things to be different. And I think it's really important, because if you water down trafficking and consider that smuggling, you're not going to get the results that you want inside of your city, or, try to get the support that you need, because people that are being trafficked, you need to have everything from trauma-informed specialists that are going to be intake at hospitals, emergency rooms, police departments, women's shelters, everything.
Yeah.
And that is specific to trafficking.
That's it. And once you get to the point of trafficking, you're beyond the fact of, okay, we're looking for 18-wheelers or we're doing an x-ray
yeah. to see that, you know, that there's 50 people in there.
Believe me,
that's bad enough as it is. But trafficking is a whole different
scenario. Yeah, this is where you start really getting into like micro behaviors, the way that people react to situations in public, the way that mm-hmm. people react to how they're talked to, how they're spoken to.
A victim's world is it's the same looking to you and me, but what they see is totally different.
Well,
may be afraid of police or, you know, there's and all sorts of reasons like that.
Let's get into some of that because, you know, we've got a little while longer with our WMLD audience before we have to let them go. But I want them to hear some of the key points that they should be looking for, some of the triggers that they should be keeping an eye out for whenever they do go to hotels, sporting events, things like that. All of these situations where people are trafficked in plain sight, right in front of you, people like a magician with a dove up his sleeve.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak about this. So I would say that the best place I would start is if you go to reefcares.org. You'll see there's a tab that says Learn the Signs. And what I have done there is I've combined dozens of different groups' red flags, and they're kind of set into different sections. So whether it's labor trafficking or human trafficking or sex trafficking, there's so many forms and flavors of trafficking that it's really unimaginable. You have labor bondage, debt bondage. You have domestic minor sex trafficking. It's anybody that's under 18 that is being sold for sex immediately is trafficking. You have organ harvesting. You have child brides. You have child warriors. I mean, it goes on and on. And just for a point of reference, child brides is when you are marrying somebody that's way the heck too young. And then, of course, that husband or wife is able to take advantage of that person. And in 48 states, there are not regulations that will cover that.
No.
That's in the United States. So back to the things that you may be able to notice. So if we think about, I'll just do domestic minor sex trafficking in a way because that's
sure.
the one that I have the most experience with. And yeah. So it might be that a younger kid has met an older boy. I'll do the boy and girl thing because there's all these flavors. I mean, there's anything in any marginalized community, LGBTQIA+, they all are susceptible, but I'll just do girls for now. So if you're looking around and you see that a young person doesn't know what city that they're in, if they they don't carry any identification, they don't have a purse, if they wear the same clothes day in and day out, if they are dressed provocatively, let's see if they actually have some physical, bruises or things like that, maybe even track marks. If they are traveling in a gang, so to speak, let's say there's four young women with an older man, all these things are like little signs to look for. And of course, none of them individually are that, but the thing is that they may be, they may be indicators. And so if you are paying attention to this stuff, the rule is really to, like, if you see something, say something. And so don't say it to them. You know, they may be your friend. Yeah, definitely talk to them. But if it's a stranger, just call the police. I mean, you can call the FBI. You can call the Polaris, you know, human trafficking hotline that's out there. All these resources are listed on our website, reefcares.org. But getting involved with them in public could get you or them killed.
Yeah.
There's tons of other different signs, but basically if someone is not in charge of what's going on to themselves, you know, if you don't have a purse or you're not in charge of what you eat or what you're wearing, et cetera, those are bad.
Yeah. And I'm here to tell you folks, as a traveling AV technician, I've spent close to 30 to 40 weeks a year on the road the last few years. I have actively started seeing signs right next to the check-in desk more and more frequently at hotels, inside the elevators, where if you think that this is going on, please let somebody at the hotel know.
It's really good to see that. There have been people that have been in this field trying to spread awareness about this for over 25, well, obviously longer than that, but 25 Absolutely. Years ago is about where it really started sort of getting in there. And now that more and more people are evolved or are aware of it and they're trying to get involved, you're starting to see, like you said, like people that are concerned about labor trafficking. So you can go in a restaurant and they'll have signs that say about labor trafficking. And obviously when you're in hotels, there are actually, I was talking to a lady, it was a gentleman last week in Miami, and he runs a good group of hotels there. And what they do is inside of the, inside the bar, if you go into the women's room, women's restroom, on the inside of the door, it says, if you order this drink, this is what's happening to you. And our staff are going to be able to make a change and address this. And they have the same thing on the side, inside of the men's bathrooms. So you can, you're actually giving them a little signal that you need help. So there's some really interesting ways that it went from trafficking doesn't exist to, oh my gosh, it does exist. And now it's like they're trying to connect the it exists with here's how you get the resources and you connect with someone that is actually an ally in this.
Yeah.
I thought that the drink ordering thing was just brilliant.
Oh, yeah. That's great. That is an awesome idea. And, you know, just to revisit a moment a little while ago where we were talking about R. Kelly, all that kind of stuff. Like these things, like we were saying, folks, this stuff happens in plain sight.
These parents gave those children to him.
Plain sight. Was one of his big things. Was like, oh, you know, I paid their families.
Yeah. What do you say about that?
Like, the expose was actually pretty impressively done.
You know, it's, obviously, the more stuff that I hear, the more, you know, that I can kind of see these parallels, right? So you have, you know, R. Kelly, you know, buying children, essentially. And what's happening in other cultures around the world, I mean, like, this stuff is happening in America, okay? It's really bad here. It's happening everywhere. And when many people think about trafficking, it's like, you know, poor brown people. I mean, let's just be completely honest with that. That's what people think. But in those cultures, some refugee cultures or people that are, you know, that are displaced, they know that they're going to have to sell at least one of their children to keep themselves alive. And that is actually part of their culture. They don't even see it as strange.
No, it's normalized.
It's been completely normalized.
Yeah.
And that's how their society works. So it's like, you know, we can be normalized to anything.
Yeah.
You know, if we allow ourselves to be, that will happen.
Yep. Yeah, most definitely. And that's exactly what the negative feedback mechanism in our brain does.
Yep.
It normalizes us to bad situation.
Our thought processes are patterns, right? And this has been going on for eons, that somebody can come and take an advantage of you because you want love or you want attention or you have a blind spot over here
Because a need is fulfilled.
Yeah,
I'm a poor, psychological need.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll give you a short one, which is like there are survivors that get out of trafficking situations, and then they're put on the social safety net, and they get put into HUD housing, or they get food stamps, or they have some type of, you know, social services. But our American social services are so poor that what happens is they can't afford to live. They don't have job training. They don't have mental health services. They don't have physical health services.
Yep.
So what winds up happening is they're getting paid so poorly, they lose their homes, and where do you think they go? They go right back.
And to the one thing that they knew to make money and make a living. And
this person cares
where they were
about
accepted.
Them. Yeah. The person, air quotes, are going on here.
Yeah.
They care about them.
Thank you for the radio audience.
Exactly. And they get the food, they get the housing, do get medical treatment through their pimps. I mean,
well, and
they
have
to keep their property functioning well. Sometimes this stuff just makes me want to throw up.
Yeah, honestly. No, that's it. Like, even just thinking about it right now just stymied my thought train, because it was like, it just gets me so much. I recently worked an event with Refuge here in Austin, which is a post trafficking 501c3.
They have beds for survivors, whereas
you actively go out and help build awareness to trafficking.
My role in this right now is I want to end the supply.
Yeah.
And that is done by prevention education. Well, awareness and prevention education. So first thing you got to do for a lot of adults is prove to them that this is real. And then you have to prove to them that this could, in fact, happen to someone they know.
Yeah.
And that's where our the power of virtual reality puts you in a situation that really works. But the continuum of this care, when they do decide to pull themselves out of this situation, and then, you know, hopefully you would call them a survivor. I mean, there are different terms that people prefer to use, but victim, I would say, is someone that's being obviously victimized, and a survivor is someone that's kind of out of that. But once somebody has become a survivor, and what they're trying to do is get back to be a normal person, or actually try to be a normal person for the first time in their lives, you have children. I mean, the average age that someone goes into trafficking in the United States is 12 to 14.
Wow.
So
right at the dating age,
where your body is changing, you know, lots of confusing things are happening. Your, you know, hormones are going all over the place and you need that kind of attention.
Yeah.
So what happens is when somebody gets out of that situation, they need 24-hour-a-day care. They need trauma-informed specialists. Their bodies are very likely damaged, let's just say. Yeah. They need mental health services. They have not emotionally grown since this happened to them.
Yep.
They did not go to school. I mean, you're generally not being sent to school while this has happened. Although it does happen, you know, that you are going to school and you're having a quote normal life.
Sure, because trafficking happens within family situations, all
school,
kinds of stuff.
During school, the recruiters are there, and the recruiters are their children. But you wind up with no job skills. So
yeah.
It's like you could be in, you know, what they call the life for years, decades, and you haven't learned anything about how to be a human being. Your version of the world is the word they use is you're a square. You know, you're either in the life or you're a square. And my apologies if I don't get everything correct to everyone. I'm very sorry about that. But the world isn't the same to them. You know, our VR experience actually shows you regular real life objects, you know, like a dress or some shoes or lipstick or a phone. And each one of those things to a victim means something completely different to us. Like one example is, you know, we would think, oh, they have a phone. Well, why don't they just call home? It's like, no, that they can't call home because that their trafficker knows something about them. And what a phone is a way for them to get a text to tell them where they're supposed to be. Or it's to take a picture of themselves, to sell themselves online. So when you and I look at a phone looks like freedom. To them, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's just one example. I mean, we're talking about their whole world looks different. They are victimized by policemen, for example.
Yeah.
And so that they won't go to the police.
Exactly.
Because that's happening to them. And we're talking about 12-year-olds. How do you navigate the world? I mean, like right now as a regular 12-year-old, it's hard enough. But if you have people that are psychologically manipulating you, you've got in Stockholm syndrome, et cetera, dude, how do you break out of that? I mean, it takes a lot of love and caring and kindness. It's like you have a horse that it would take months to come and get an apple from you. And you have to develop a relationship with these people. That's why places like the Refuge, places like the Landing out of Houston, they're all part of the continuum of care.
Yeah.
Like, just an example, like a drop-in center, like the Landing, what they do is they have people are out on the street and they're, you know, they're doing the walk. So what they do is they allow people to come up there and be a human being. There's like a, you know, a living room set up where you can actually sit and watch television. Or if you have children, you can bring your kids there. And yes, this really does happen to people with families.
Yep.
So they have a chance to become more normalized to normal life. And they get a sense of that. And then if they do decide to get out, well, that's when they need care. And that's where places like the Refuge come in.
Yeah.
And they provide that care.
Well, because unfortunately with this system, folks, the way it is right now, the victims are treated as criminal.
Oh, yeah. Once you get a criminal record, I mean, you have getting rid of that is almost impossible. But because you are in this life, you might get arrested for, you know, drugs or, you know, something else. Or you might get arrested for, you know, a domestic dispute or, you know, sexual assault or whatever. You get that. It's like the broken windows thing. It's like all of a sudden this person now is marked as a criminal.
Yep.
The police are going to arrest them as a criminal, bring them in, prosecute them as a criminal. But Really, the problem is...
And anything you say will be heard as a criminal.
Right. What they're guilty of is wanting attention and love. And someone gave it to them.
Yeah.
And they tricked them into the situation and... You know, they are a victim. And so we're lucky that there are a lot of police, a lot of medical professionals that actually have recognized that this is being perpetrated on them.
Yeah.
There's a big change, a big shift happening, but it hasn't gone everywhere. It's in the major areas that really are having funding put into it. And the people in my mind, the heroes that want to make a difference are finally getting, you know, police departments, medical professionals, et cetera, becoming aware that this actually is, it's a symptom. You know, the criminality or becoming a criminal is a symptom of the actual problem. And the problem is being trafficked. But that happened because we just wanted love and attention. A human instinct and human need that someone has hacked to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And people need money because they're broke. And why are they broke? Where did that come from? You know, income and wealth inequality. These things you can look back and back and back and find out, you know, or at least, you know, maybe you can surmise what these things are.
Yeah.
But the result is these people's lives are ruined.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of these, well, I'm going to say some, but many, almost most, never make it to normalcy again.
Yeah.
And that's why we've got to stop this before it starts happening.
Yeah, I've met a few people who were forced into prostitution.
By many reasons.
Be it
lack
economic
of money,
reasons, yes. What have you.
They call it survival sex.
Yeah, it never goes away. It never leaves you. That decision never leaves you. That shame never leaves you. It's like when somebody's identity is stolen online. Back in the day, people would, you know, it's almost like the statistics for male rape. We don't really know the actual statistics because most males will not go report it.
That's right. And the
shame is what keeps people from reporting it, folks. It's what keeps people from asking for help. And we can't do that.
An allegory for the numbers that you see, you know, like you might read, you know, the Polaris hotline got, you know, 1,000, you know, calls at one point in time. It's like, yeah, well, those are the people that actually knew that it was happening to them and made the phone call.
Yeah.
The people this is happening where their father is, you know, is trafficking them or, you know, their neighbor is doing it.
Yeah, where this has been happening.
Tell anyone, and they never tell them for the rest of their lives. Or, the stats are so far off, it's nuts.
Or it's been happening since, you know, 6 years of their living memory.
That's right.
You know, like most people can't remember beyond the age of 7.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about the fact that your memory at that point is only 5 or 6 years old, that's normal to you.
Yeah, that's right.
Those actions are utterly normal to you. You don't have a whole lifetime of experience to lean on to go, hey, something ain't right here.
Yeah,
this is all you've known.
And who taught you to know any better in the first place?
Exactly. The person who's supposed to be teaching you better is the person doing it to you.
Yeah, or, you know, I want to say that we also have problems where you have parents that are divorced or parents that work two jobs. They can't pay enough attention to you. You get passed around from house to house.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, please.
Oh, I was just because I worked at an educational company before. We provided technology solutions for people that needed to learn things after school, for example. And we would go to their houses, and we would find out that the kids had an extra job. They had to go help their grandma. The parents had multiple jobs. It was like this. Their house was like sort of a way stop or whatever you want to call it. It's like we would go there and it's like, you know, I'd sleep for a while and then I'd go back to school or I'd sleep and then I'd go take care of my grandma.
Yeah.
And it's like people are forced to find ways to survive.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely true. And we get lost in the cracks. We get lost in the cracks of society. We get lost in the cracks of life, you know, and we get so focused in, I think, on ourselves, on our own lives, on our own drama going on that we, and, you know, it's not necessarily that we can do a whole lot, folks, to what's going on out there, but the one thing that you can do that does a whole lot is remove your blinders.
Yes.
Be willing to see it.
We've talked.
I'm not
going to
say that you're going to see it.
Well, no, I mean, I think
you got to be willing to see it.
Right. What I think where you're really going with this is that we have a children know this is real.
Yeah,
they do. Teenagers know this is real.
Yeah.
And all of those people all have parents, and their parents want to pretend it's not. And the thing that I think is it's a term that I picked up in Portland from a group of police that were I wouldn't call it a sting operation, but they were posting ads on Backpage. And what would happen, they would immediately get like, I mean, I was there. They posted a thing. It was bang, boom, boom, boom. Text,
oh, sure.
Text. What they were trying to do was intercept Johns,
yeah,
and have an opportunity to discuss them and let them know, hey, you know what? This kid that you answered the ad for that in the ad basically says the child is 14. It's like, you know, maybe they didn't choose that. And so where I'm going with all that is they had a concept that I'd never heard of, which is the illusion of choice.
Yes.
So our culture has convinced us that, yep, people have chosen to be prostituted.
That's right.
They've chosen to do this, no matter what their age is. And so we have to, as you're saying, we have to remove those blinders, and yeah, we have to remember, or at least be taught and educated and listen to the fact that, hey, guess what? They're not choosing this.
Yeah.
No one that, you know, no child wakes up at 4 years old or 12 years old and says, you know what? I'm going to go have sex with older men for money because that's been my dream.
Yeah.
It's just not happening.
Yeah.
And our culture is just perpetuating it. You know, beer ads, you know, anything you can imagine. You see, you know, incredibly attractive people that are, you know, drinking beer and performing provocatively.
Even R. Kelly in the first interview after his first case.
Oh, my gosh.
And to see the footage and to see it like, you know, so there have been stories going around that you like younger women and things like that. You know, teenage girls. What do you mean by teenager?
That's a great,
like,
should be
now,
super simple question.
No, like, whoa, wait a minute. Did you just try to quantify something when you did? It should just be no. Should just be no.
Yeah.
Given
his age,
yeah,
the answer should be no.
Yeah. We've got about 5 minutes left with our audience.
Thank
Billy.
Y'all for hanging with us.
Thank you guys. Thank you all for always tuning in. It's important to have these discussions. These discussions are not comfortable. They aren't fun. As someone who worked with youth and worked with people ages 4 to 40, folks, I've got a huge empathic heart inside of me, especially for people that are victimized, especially for people that are betrayed by those that are closest to them, the people that we should be entrusting our lives to implicitly. And when this happens, it just kills me inside. Tell the people where they can go to learn more, Billy, where they can go, some resources that they can go to online to find out more in their local area, to find out more what they can do to help raise awareness. How can they get Reef out to their local school, out to the local university, out to the local hoteliers convention, out to their local police department, their FBI branch, whatever, dude? How can we get involved to bring people like you to the front side of the world?
Okay, so that's a great question. Every city, every community, every group of people have a different way that they can do something to make a difference. Every community has a different way to report things. So there's the main thing to be suggested is call the Polaris human trafficking hotline. And I do not have the number memorized. My apologies.
It's okay. Keep going.
Yeah. So I would say get a hold of local resources to try to learn more about what can happen in your neighborhood and in your city. You know, call the police, do some research. We have on our website, you can download a document called Trafficking Resources. And it was put together by a lady from the International Justice Commission. And it explains everything about trafficking from, you know, domestic minor sex trafficking to organ harvesting. So you can find everything you want. It's a wonderful resource.
We've got to do a whole episode on organ harvesting, man. Like, there was just a huge article that came out about organ harvesting,
man,
in China.
That is a topic that will go for years.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. And it's horrifying. These things are crazy, folks. But the world is crazy. We live in it. It's real. It's there. It exists.
So real quickly, you had asked how you can get us involved.
Yeah.
So what we are willing to do is anything. So I want anyone that's listening to this, I want you to remember that radical empathy, our favorite answer is yes. So the question is how. So give us a call. Contact us through our reefcares.org/contact page. I get those, and I will find a way to say yes if we can work out the how.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I love about you, Billy, is I haven't heard a no.
Thank you.
And it's just about awareness, man. It's about, and, you know, I'm not talking about in that Susan G. Komen, let's go out and spend a $250,000 on a, you know, fundraiser. It's about actively getting out in the streets, right, letting people know, ground level. Polaris Project, folks, that is humantraffickinghotline.org, 1-888-373-7888. Once again, that is 888-37-37-888.
So let's talk for just 2 seconds on this. If you or you think someone else is being trafficked, or if you think you're in a tough situation, you can call them and just have a conversation. You do not have to call them if you're having an emergency.
Yeah.
If you're a parent, call them. You know, they have resources.
This yeah, is call not them, a, talk.
Yeah. This, I mean, just have a conversation with
my,
them, please.
My kids coming of age, what are some things I should look for?
Yes, they are human beings, and they will answer that phone, and they will have a conversation with you.
And while you're online, checking out humantraffickinghotline.org as well as reefcares.org, everybody, Billy Joe Kane, once again, thank you so much always for your time.
Thank you.
Please make sure to stop on by. Check out hcuniversalnetwork.com. That is the home for all of the shows, including Dudes and Beer. Dudesandbeer.com is our official website where you can get all of the shows, where you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Stop on by Breach.tv, one of our main video platform, and subscribe to us there. Great content on there. Nowhere near as persnickety or awful as YouTube as far as getting people muted and silenced. So check us out on Breach TV. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, if you can't be good at it. While you're online, make sure to check out audibletrial.com. That's where you can get your 30-day free trial of Audible. Use the code DUDESANDBEER to get your 30-day free trial. audibletrial.com/dudesandbeer.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.